Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.
That's relevant bumper music, Scott Eckersley.
What's the name of that, Scott?
That would be Marching Band.
Marching Band. Mo Agar Productions. And our guest, Maurice Agar, played very well for Michigan State University, a Final Four ring from 2005, and then came back for a senior year in 2005-2006. One of the greatest basketball games I have ever seen, with Gonzaga defeating Michigan State in the Maui Invitational. I think Mo had 36 in that game.
No, I remember that.
As I recall, Morrison and Adam Morrison, they went basket for basket. And now had a shot in the NBA, the Dallas Mavericks, New Jersey Nets, played overseas, and he is back trying to make it again with the New Orleans Hornets. I want to bring in Maurice Agar. Hey, Mo, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, what's going on with you? Tell us what's happening, your chance to get back in the NBA, and what you're doing in Las Vegas.
You know what? My chances are very good right now. I actually left Las Vegas last Sunday.
Okay.
So almost a week ago from Summer League. You know, Summer League went pretty well. So right now, I got a great opportunity to get back, not only just to get back in the NBA, just to, be able to play a significant role for a team instead of just being on the roster.
Mo, it's Tom here. I want to ask you about that Summer League in Las Vegas. You hear so much about it. I mean, tell us the dynamics about that. You play in all the games at the Thomas and Mack, or how does that work? How many teams, and where do you stay? And give us a little bit overview of it, what you do.
We stay at Planet Hollywood. We play every game at the almost every game at the Cox, which is I guess like the second gym for UNLV.
Okay.
But we play one game in the main arena, the very last game.
Right.
I want to say it's about 8 to 9 teams in it, maybe more than that. But it's pretty good, man. I think it can go up or down for you in summer league.
Still got the jump shot?
Absolutely.
Still got the lift off the floor. I remember that down in Chicago, how high you used to get off the floor. You still feel physically like you were in 2005, getting out of college?
Yeah. Honestly, man, my first 2 or 3 years in the league, I didn't play much, so, I got a lot of miles on me. But, I think I'm physically, athletically, I'm right where I need to be.
Now, Gil Demps, who was taken over as the general manager of the Hornets, was in San Antonio, and Scott and I were talking during the break, and it was pretty clear that the Spurs always liked you, wanted to get you out of the draft. And what does that mean to your chances to make this team?
I really don't look at it like that. That was in 06. It's 2010 now. Obviously, I feel like I'm a way better player, not only physically, but, my basketball IQ. I've actually been playing a point the last year and a half or so. So that's been a big adjustment for me. But, I think, New Orleans got a lot of things going on, man. They're trying to figure out things with Chris Paul.
Right.
And just new coaching staff, and it's a lot going on. So right now I'm just being patient, just figuring out what's going to happen. So,
how does that impact your situation? The talk of Chris Paul maybe going to Orlando now, or the Knicks, some other teams. He said that he kind of wants out. Does that open up another spot for you?
I don't know, man. I'm just Lord willing, I'll just be able to get in there. But New Orleans is not the only team in the NBA.
Sure.
When I was out in summer league, it's just. That's something, a mentality you got to have. You got to understand that you're playing for everybody, not just one team. So I just hope, I just get to a good situation. It's just not really about going to a certain team, but I just want to go somewhere where I can actually help a team.
Former basketball standout, Spartans basketball standout, Maurice Agar, our guest on Jack and Tom. I got to ask you, Mo, when do you know it's time to say, this isn't working out? And we're going to talk about your other career that you have going on in a second here, but how long do you think you're going to keep trying to accomplish what you're going to and get to the NBA on a regular basis?
It's right there, man. I have no doubt in my mind that I'm an NBA player at all. And at the end of the day, it's not like I've been out the league 5, 6 years. I've only been out
one year.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm still a young man. So I was like, I'm just going to take advantage of, just where I'm at you know, in my life, you know, just take advantage of it. Because I think that, you know, with the knowledge I have now and the understanding I have with the game and everything surrounding on and off the court, I think I'd be much more effective now than I was, you know, a year ago in the NBA.
Mo, one more basketball question, and then we want to talk about your music. You know, you were always a spiritual guy. We always saw you were maybe looking at the game a little different way than some of your teammates. But you certainly saw Tom Izzo from the time you got there as a recruit on through your senior year, and you watched the Michigan State program go through a number of different stages, making the Final Four in 2005. What kind of an NBA experience would it have been for him? And were you surprised that he entertained it to the degree he did with the Cavaliers?
You know, out of all the jobs he took, I honestly thought he would have took this one.
Yeah.
But I still had him back in my mind. Like, he's not going to take this job. You know, it was just all dependent on a lot of stuff. You know, because Coach Izzo is such a big competitor, man. You know, he don't want to lose. So by LeBron James not, you know, giving him nothing, you know, to really go on, it's tough for him, because at the end of the day, like, you know, it's kind of tough for him to leave, you know, Michigan State, where he's, you know, he's that guy, to right. where he, you know, he's struggling in the NBA, and I really can't see him losing.
Do you think it was the fact that he's so competitive that he wanted to accomplish that professional level that he was least considering as far as he went on that, Mo?
Yeah, but he's so loyal to Michigan State, man. I think he'd rather win than just more so just say he is in the NBA.
Yeah, he wants to win. No question about that. And, you know, I think you could see the Cavaliers going 30-52 real easily this year. And there's a chance he can win more games than that at Michigan State, playing half as many. So let's talk a little bit about Mo Agher Productions. Tell us how you got involved in that.
I started in college. You know, anybody would tell you, anybody who know me, know I've been making beats since my freshman year. That was one thing I just fell in love with, man. You know, so when we got done playing and up a gym in the summer, you know, I just go to Case Study Hall, you know, and just go in there and just make beats all night, you know. And I think that's one thing that's been a blessing for me. Even now, I've been taking it so much more serious, and it's just kept me out of trouble and just keeping me focused and grounded, man. But it's a talent, you know, and I'm taking advantage of it.
Now, you have a special business relationship with Michigan State. They have, they're going to have a lot of your stuff, I guess, at games that they're going to be playing too.
Actually, you know, I've done stuff for Coach D'Antoni's website. You know, the music for the background music on there. Actually, me and my friend Sam Richardson, who also is a Spartan alumni, we did a song for the football team for the intro. So every time, you know, the game come on, you know, you hear that, you hear the song in the video.
Right.
So, you know, it's a good opportunity for me just to be able to display my music, but at the same time be loyal to my Spartan dogs.
You know, Tom, I remember when Mo came to Michigan State and people weren't quite sure what to make of him because he was a little bit detached, and talk about growth, a guy who has really grown through the college experience. And, you know, we ought to get him to do something for our show.
Yeah, bumper music.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, Mo, that you're creating a, you know, the ultimate backup plan. You know, if you have multiple careers and potential revenue streams to make sure that you're going to be comfortable in life. So I take it that's part of driving your music as well.
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, just not only the passion, you know, for the music, just the fact that, you know, basketball don't last forever, man. You know, you get that sad day when you can't play no more. So I just want to be able to be established and already have something off the ground. But, you know, because a lot of guys, you know, they go into it and they retire and they don't know what they go do after basketball. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just try to figure it out now, man, and make sure I'm good. As far as me growing, like, I do remember them days where, you know, I used to couldn't stand sitting around waiting and talking and stuff. But now, you know, it's like when you grow and you know, and understand, because – man, it just takes experience, man. You really can't teach experience in years, but yeah, I do remember those days.
you wouldn't know it now, Tom, from the interviews and the way he conducts himself, but there were times where Mo Agher could score 25 points and the interview room would open up, a locker room, and people would go and they'd talk to other players because they know that, you know, Mo was going to give him about 5 words.
And so what was the deal on that, Mo? Were you just wanted to you wanted to keep yourself, or you were shy, or what? How do you explain yourself back then?
You wouldn't even necessarily say, I guess you could. I don't want to say the word shy, but I don't know. I just wasn't really big on talking to the media at the time. I didn't understand as much as I do now.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have understood a little bit more, you know, better back then, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's all good, man. You live and you learn, man.
Hey, if someone wants to get into music, I know a lot of people love sports and they love music. Those are common passions, Mo. Is it something can be self-taught, or do you need a mentor or someone to really show you what's going on?
I mean, it depends on what you're trying to do musically. You know, me, I just think I was blessed with a talent to be able to create music. You know, if you're trying to get into music, like the music business, you know, that's something that you might need a mentor for.
Right.
You know, and because a lot of people know that, I mean, you know now, like a lot of rappers or any sports person, they're there to get into music. You know, they blow a lot of money, and, you know, they don't get nothing out of it. So, you know, musically, man, you know, you just got to be smart with it, man. Either you got to be good at it or you just got to have a real good business mind on what you're trying to do.
You know, you mentioned before there are a lot of teams, not just the Hornets, but when the whole Miami Heat thing came down, I thought, now they're going to need some players who can do specific things. They're going to need
role players.
Exactly. Who don't need the ball in their hand all the time. They're going to need a couple of Mo Agers go in there and hit shots for them or do some things. You know, I guess you sit there and you look at all the musical chairs going on because it impacts you too.
Yeah. You know, we played Miami Heat this summer. I mean, I played pretty well, but I don't know, man. I really don't think about that, you know. I think they're trying to sign a lot of veteran guys or older guys because, I mean, they just give away a lot of money. So, but, you know, if the opportunity arose, man, you know, I wouldn't mind being in that situation. But
would you go overseas again?
Honestly, nah. I really. I mean, not right now. Not at this point in my career. I think last year was kind of experimental for me. I think I could have went to a few training camps last year and got picked up, but it was you know, it was just a situation financially. I'm like, man, I might as well just go over here, you know, because they was giving away a lot of money at the time. So I'm like, man, that's how I was looking at it. But now I don't think I would, you know, just looking at where I'm at now, because I really truly feel that I'm an NBA player. So
yeah, you know, so a lot of people look at it and they think, well, you're either in the NBA or you're not in basketball, but there is a lot of money out there.
Go back 15 years ago, it was a whole different. Now there's a lot of opportunities that never were before.
Yeah,
that's crazy, man. That's perception, man. Nowadays, like, people just, like, they don't understand that, you know, it's more than the NBA.
Right.
I mean, I do more because I don't want to play at the highest level.
Right.
You know, and that's always been my goal and my dream growing up is playing in the NBA and not really overseas. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, you can't judge a person, what type of person he is, just because he's playing overseas, because a lot of people do. It sucks, but that's reality.
Well, you can judge a person by who he is and not necessarily what he does in some cases in terms of basketball.
Right.
And Mo Agher gets it. Mo Agher Productions, you're going to be hearing from that after his basketball days are over. Mo, great talking with you again.
Oh, man, no problem.
All right. We will be back with our final segment, Jack Ebling and Tom Crawford, The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.